Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I am very happy to be joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello, Heidi.
Today, I was going to say,
it's nice to hang out with you again.
Oh, I'm very excited. I am excited to talk to you about GMOs.
Well, no one's ever said that to me before.
What a better conversation starter. Man, this is going to be exciting, I can tell already.
Well, I do, you know, I am curious. You hear about GMOs all the time and, you know, everything, not everything, but lots of ads say non-GMO. And So you feel like, okay, GMOs must be bad because we want them to be non. So why? Let's talk about all the ins and outs.
Exactly. And I guess the reason with all of that, like the fact that I just feel like it surrounds me always hearing about GMO foods and things like that. I particularly want to talk about it because in a previous episode, I had talked about organic foods and natural foods. And in that particular topic, the idea of genetically modified foods came up a little bit. And then I just started to wonder, do I really know what this means? Like, it comes up and I'm like, I feel like I know this means, and I get like a bad, creepy feeling, but I don't really understand. I don't know if someone came up to me on the street and wanted me to just define it, if I could tell you more than what the acronym stands for.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, what a better way to learn about this than to put it on the podcast.
There you go.
And that's what brings us to this.
I read a book recently for the Book Review podcast, and it was about immigrant experiences, people coming to America from different countries, and so many of the stories talked about how the food here tastes different
than
the food they grew up with. And so they were talking about how they think it's because it's genetically modified and it tastes so much different than even fresh fruits and vegetables tasted different than what they grew up with.
I did hear something similar, but it was about a zoo that because of the modern genetically modified fruits and vegetables, they were actually sweeter and had a sugar content that was too high for like some of the animals that they were feeding.
Oh dear.
So they actually had to switch out like fruits, like, oh, this animal would normally eat a banana. Well, actually our bananas are too sweet. So they had to find something else to feed it because the animal is receiving too much sugar.
Wow. Which is concerning for people who are diabetic.
Yes, exactly. So I just feel like all of these things that I hear about, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I am interested to have this conversation.
Yeah. So let's get started. First, I think that probably if anyone is to know a fact when you talk about GMOs, it's what it stands for. And GMOs are an acronym for genetically modified organisms. And that it can be like any organism whose genetic material has been altered using genetic engineering techniques. The exact definition, though, of genetically modified organism and what constitutes genetic engineering varies. The most common definition is an organism that has been altered in a way that does not occur naturally by mating and or natural recombination. So anything that's not really natural, you know, it just doesn't happen, which is, of course, different than like, I don't know,
like
natural selection
would grafting in plants, like hybridization, be considered genetically modifying?
That's something that I am going to talk about later, but it is interesting because a lot of people, I feel like, consider grafting as part of genetically modified things. And that's not necessarily true. But I did read some research that has come out recently that might put it more in that category.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Grafting is interesting also because it's so old of a technique. So I don't know. GMOs is like that we think of now is a newer technique, and it's more of like the changing of genetics, like in a lab.
Right.
Which is a little different than just like horticultural techniques.
I picture mad scientists.
Yeah. And I think that's
probably mad. They're just scientists. Yeah, but I like the mad scientists.
They could occasionally be mad. Right? You don't know. Bad day. Yeah. And I think because of the idea of mad scientists that come up when you think about GMOs, you get terms like Frankenstein foods, mm-hmm. which I've heard before, which is, I feel like, just kind of a way to make GMOs sound really scary.
Yes.
And for like advertising against GMOs. But I think because of the mad scientist idea, that comes up.
Yes, I agree.
So there is a wide variety of organisms that have been genetically modified. That's like animals and plants and even microorganisms. And also using genetic modification practices, what happens is that genes have been transferred within the same species. They have also been transferred like across species and even across kingdoms. New genes can be introduced, or just different genes can be enhanced or altered or even like cut out. So it can get really specific, which I did not really think about.
Yeah. It sounds very complicated.
It does. It does. And I think that's part of another reason why people are so scared of it, is because it's something that doesn't seem, you know, it's not simple. Right. It's a very complicated process.
It takes you back to high school biology when you had to learn about all the genes and when you had to figure out your, like, if your parents have blue eyes, but one has brown eyes. And that so started to confuse me after a while. That's just me. No.
And I mean, what's scarier than biology class? Well, so yeah. I feel like that just everyone gets creeped out by that.
Right.
So it is a complicated process. If you're creating a genetically modified organism, it has multiple steps. Genetic engineers, they have to isolate a gene that they then want to insert into a host organism, and they combine it with other genetic elements. There's like a number of techniques to do this, different techniques for inserting the isolated gene into the host genome. And there have just been recent advances with the editing technique that have made the production of GMOs simpler over time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Simpler. Well, I guess that's, I don't know if that's good. See, then now I'm questioning everything. Is simpler good? Is it now too easy to do? So we're doing it too much? I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah. And I did not know there's a lot of genetic modification out there.
Yes.
The one that a lot of people know about, well, I guess if you're in the scientific food community, in 1994, they made the Flavor Saver tomato, which was released. And all I could think about is bad facial hair when I say Flavor Saver. But so
took
that's
me a minute.
When I just thought of that, I was like, man, that tomato's got bad facial hair. But that's not what they did to this tomato.
Probably not, no.
This tomato was the first commercialized genetically modified food. The first genetically modified animal to be approved for food use was the Aqua Advantage salmon in 2015. These are interesting names.
Yeah.
I don't know what the advantage the salmon had.
Well, they isolated a gene and now it's super salmon.
Now it's,
all the other salmon are jealous.
Probably.
I don't know.
Maybe he's very popular.
You know,
I'm not sure.
Tomatoes are what I think of often when I think of genetically modified food because...
Oh, really?
There's such a focus on heirloom tomatoes, that aren't genetically modified, that they come from an older seed stock.
Mm-hmm.
So, Flavor Saver. But then people talk about how they have no flavor. So what flavor did they save?
I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, normally if you're thinking of like GMO tomatoes, it's like the hothouse,
yes.
Like Roma tomatoes and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is what I think of, too. Actually, I know someone who works in genetics at a university, and she works with tomatoes.
No.
So it's still going on.
Yes.
More tomatoes.
What if the tomatoes take over and just kill us all?
That could happen. That could really happen. My friend would be on the front lines.
Would she be for good or evil?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she listens to this, but I'm going to say for good, just for preservation of our relationship.
I like it.
Also, in terms of genetically modified things, to be specific, because this, I feel like this topic for me relates a lot to food.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about foods, those are genetically modified foods. And that's what most people think of, at least like in the consumer sense when you think of GMOs.
Yeah.
And genetically modified foods or GM foods, also known as genetically engineered foods or bioengineered foods. They are produced from organisms that have had changes introduced into their DNA using the methods of genetic engineering.
Hmm.
So even though I feel like we say GMOs, we mean like GM foods typically.
Right. And I guess that's what I think of. I mean, when I think of GMOs, I never really think of the organism portion of that acronym.
Right. I think of the salmon that they edited.
Genetically modified. And I think tomatoes and corn and, you know, various things like that. But
right,
it's
right.
a much broader topic.
Yeah. I think of more cash crops.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah.
Yep. But before we take a break, I just want to mention something that I learned about recently, which is if you're interested in health, and particularly if you're interested in respiratory health, or if you have a family member who has asthma, or maybe you have asthma, I'm sure you have heard a lot about air filters.
Yes.
And this filter that I want to talk about is a newer filter, and it is much, much better than the other existing filters out there. This is particularly the molecule filter. And the molecules technology has been personally effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it has been tested by real people. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. Molecule has introduced a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. It goes beyond what HEPA filters do or what Pico technology, or Molecule has Pico technology that goes beyond the HEPA filters that we all often know and still many people use. This great deal, if you're thinking about getting a Molecule filter, for this offer gets you $75 off your first order. And to get this deal, you can visit molecule.com, which is M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E, and at checkout, enter the promo code GSMCHealth for this wonderful deal. And I hope that that can help you all who may be suffering from respiratory problems. And we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about GMOs.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the topic of GMOs. Before the break, we brought up genetically modified foods, and that is something that I want to keep talking about throughout this episode. Specifically, I feel like I mentioned this, that when I think of GMOs, I often think of cash crops. And most food modifications have primarily focused on cash crops that are in high demand by farmers, such as soybeans, corn, canola, and cotton. Genetically modified crops have been engineered for resistance to pathogens and herbicides for better nutrient profiles. Also, genetically modified livestock has been developed, although according to a source that I read, as of November 2013, none were on the market. So I think that's why when I think of genetically modified things, I think of like produce and not necessarily animals, even though it has been done.
Right.
Right, yeah. And
again, then there's that sort of, I feel like, gray area, because you breed animals to, mm-hmm. to kind of helping evolution along in some ways to, you know, breed them with certain characteristics. But that's different than actually isolating a gene, and I assume it's different. But I'm not going to, don't quote me on that. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but it seems like it's different.
Right, I agree. And because of that, genetic engineering techniques allow the introduction of new traits and greater control over traits. And that is more specific than what we know of, Sarah, what you were mentioning, which is like selective breeding and things like that. Selective breeding is when organisms with desired traits and thus with desired genes are used to breed the next generation, and then organisms lacking the trait are not bred. And this is really common in domesticated animals and cows and stuff that are meant for food production. So those are traditional, I don't know, they're not genetic modifications in the way that we think of in a modern sense.
Right.
But they are things that humans have done for quite a while for agriculture and other food processes, things that, you know, our ancestors have done for a very long time.
Right.
Also, there is the plant horticultural technique of grafting. And that is also different. I mentioned this earlier, but it's also different from modern day genetic modification. Grafting is a technique where, like, the tissue of plants are joined so that they can continue their growth together. In grafting, the upper part or the scion of one plant grows on the root system or rootstock of another plant. And the practice is really old. It can be traced back like 4,000 years to ancient China or even Mesopotamia.
I feel like everything happened in Mesopotamia.
I mean, it did.
It was a hotbed of scientific development.
It was. Yeah, that's true. Anything that we're like, agriculture, I feel like many things go back to Mesopotamia since that's where a lot of our agriculture came from.
Yes.
And again, like, this technique is old, but it's not really what people think of when they refer to, like, you know, modern GMOs. It's not what, like, companies or individuals are really talking about,
right,
or like when they complain about it or talk that it's bad for you or other things like that. That's different, and that is a really old process.
Right.
However, I do want to mention there has been some recent research that shows that grafted plants do share genes between the two plant parts, between like the scion and the rootstock. So with that new information, some now claim that grafting could be like the, you know, cursed genetic modification. However, it seems these claims are kind of disputed and people still talk about it and they're not sure if they agree. In general, modern genetic modification and genetic engineering involves altering the organism at a genetic level in a lab, and that's different from grafting and other horticultural techniques that are more hands-on and older, more old-fashioned, really.
Right. I picture, you know, people in gardening clothes rather than people in lab coats.
Right, exactly. But this is not conjure up the mad scientist.
Right, yeah. But still, it feels like it's, I don't know if it's a fine line, if it's a gray area. It feels very sort of slippery slope as to what is and what isn't genetically modifying. And
I agree.
Where is the line?
Yeah, I feel like the point of that, though, is if you're buying food and it says, like, non-GMO, they might still be, like, grafting their plants.
Right.
Like, they probably are.
Right.
So I don't want you to think that, you know, they're not touching the plants at all besides, like, picking the fruit off of it. It can involve, like, the older processes.
Right. I mean, this is how we have come up with how many varieties of apples do we have?
Yeah.
Millions now from, you know, that's more grafting and that sort of thing, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so that's different. Also, I wanted to talk about, like, what all of this really has to do specifically with our food, because it is, I think, really important to have this knowledge. But then it's also, I was astounded how much this has to do with our food and, I guess, some of its regulations and things like that. According to the USDA, the number of field releases for genetically engineered organisms has grown from 4 in 1985 to an average about 800 per year.
Jeez.
And that's more than 17,000 releases. More than 17,000 releases have been approved through September 2013. So that's a lot.
Wow. So that wasn't even 30 years.
Yeah. It's a huge jump.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Also, if you're thinking about, like, what some of the testing is, field testing involves cultivating the plants that have been genetically modified. They're cultivated on farm fields, or even if these are animals, they're grown in a controlled environment. And then if the field tests are successful, the producer applies for regulatory approval to grow and market the crop. And then specimens, seeds, or, I don't know, animals, things like that, are cultivated and sold to farmers. And then the farmers will then cultivate it and put it out to the market. Also, in some cases, the approval covers marketing but not cultivation. So there are some little details in there with how it is produced. But there is testing involved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the controversy comes, though, with how much testing goes into this and if people think that it's stringent enough and if there's enough regulations.
I was just going to ask, do they want more testing? Do they want less testing? I would assume they want more testing.
Yeah, or more regulations,
right.
Which I'll mention in a little bit. I just want to give some examples, though. I've mentioned the tomato and the salmon. There's also the new leaf potato, which was a genetically modified food developed using naturally occurring bacteria found in the soil, which I'm going to try and say the name of this bacteria. I don't know why I set myself up for these things. it was Bacillus thuringiensis.
Probably bacillus, but other than that, yeah, thuringiensis. I got nothing on that one.
Also known as BT, which is much easier. Way easier. This was used to provide implant protection from the crop-robbing Colorado potato beetle.
Oh, those darn potato beetle.
They strike again.
I've got a little animated cartoon going on in my head right now.
Oh, of course. Anything with a potato.
And a potato beetle.
Oh, of course. I love that idea. but the farmers don't.
No.
And the new leaf potato was brought to market by Monsanto in the late 1990s, and it was developed for the fast food market. It was withdrawn in 2001 after retailers rejected it and food processors ran into export problems.
Why did they reject it? What was wrong with it?
I don't know. I didn't see anything besides that they just rejected it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I think there could be maybe controversy, like people were upset that they were using this or something.
I know when people talk about GMOs, Monsanto is thrown in there. I mean, they are definitely the giant, big, evil bad of this conversation.
Yeah. They produce a lot.
Yeah.
I also want to mention something that is not necessarily considered bad, at least by most people. This isn't considered evil. Another example of GMOs in our food is golden rice. And golden rice is a variety of rice produced through genetic engineering to biosynthesize beta carotene, which is a precursor of vitamin A, into edible parts of rice. And it is intended to produce a fortified food to be grown and consumed in areas with a shortage of dietary vitamin A. A deficiency, which each year is estimated to kill 670,000 children under the age of 5 and cause an additional 500,000 cases of irreversible childhood blindness.
See, now that seems good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all bad and horrible.
I'm sure
people probably have issues with it, but
yeah, they do.
Saving lives seems good.
Also, the rice is golden in color, so it looks different from just regular rice.
Right, because of the beta carotene.
Yes,
which if you think,
exactly.
But, you know, there is some truth to that. Eat carrots, and it's supposed to help improve your vision.
I mean, exactly.
It's that whole, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wives' tale.
Yeah, and so that's how people can tell it apart. And the rice's most recent improved strain, so they're always working on it. Scientists are always trying to improve it. With this strain, daily consumption of even just like a cup of golden rice could supply 50% of the recommended daily allowance of vitamin A for an adult. And so that's what a lot of scientists are claiming, even though there are people who, again, will dispute that because it's GMOs and everyone will dispute everything in that topic.
Right. And, you know, I'm not asking you to answer this question specifically because you're not a scientist, are
Thank
you?
Thank you.
but it just makes me wonder, because when you think about supplements and you think about things that, if it's being genetically modified, do you absorb it as well? Is it as good for you as other naturally occurring sources of vitamin A? I mean, it sounds great. I don't want to poo-poo it, but then I wonder, is there an issue with how your body actually absorbs it? Is that what people are upset about, or are they just upset because it is genetically modified? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I read, people were upset that growing this type of rice would displace other like native rices in certain areas. But then I saw something, and again, I am not a scientist, just to burst the bubble. So they talked about it, and I wasn't quite sure what they meant. But they were trying to say that this golden rice can be synthesized, I guess, with like existing types of rice. So it wouldn't be like cultivating it wouldn't be that different from like native types of rice. So I don't know. It was interesting.
There's a counter argument for everything.
Yeah, they're trying to make it work. They really are.
Counter arguments that I just go in circles.
Yeah, people are trying to make it work, and then people are fighting against it. That's what you need to know about golden rice.
If you want to just boil it down.
Exactly. It could be good, and hopefully it is.
It could hopefully. Be evil.
Exactly. Oh, no. I know. We should just take counter-arguments to each other. This could go on forever.
Yeah. The longest podcast in the world.
I know. We should take a break before we get there.
Okay.
Before we take our break, though, I do, again, want to mention Molecule, which is, again, a wonderful air filter. If you suffer from asthma, if you have a family member who does, you know that it can be terrible and debilitating. And that's why Molecule was created, to be better than the existing HEPA filters that we know.
There is so much in the air that goes.
So gross.
If you have respiratory issues, and we think air filters are helping that, and they do some, but this sounds like it's much better technology that gets much smaller particles.
Yes, exactly. And the reason is because Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level, as opposed to just trapping them inside your filter. One customer who used Molecule even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is sad, but also amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing for her, but the 15 years is sad.
Oh, I know. Molecule technology has been personally effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. If you're interested in Molecule, there is a great offer going on right now. For $75 off your first order, you should visit molecule.com, which is M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. And then at checkout, enter the promo code GSMCHealth, all one word, to get this great deal. So thank you. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and finish up talking about GMOs.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are continuing to talk about GMOs as we finish up this episode. And before we go on to the controversy, I just want to mention one more really prevalent example of genetically modified food, and that is the genetically modified soybean. Soybeans have been modified to tolerate herbicides and produce healthier oils. And in 2015, 94% of soybean acreage in the U.S. was genetically modified, and that was to be glyphosate tolerant, which I'm not sure.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means, but I think it relates to being tolerant to like other pests and things like that. And I bring this up because so many of, like, as I said, the cash crops that we consume and that are, you know, companies produce and things like that have been genetically modified. Like 94% of soybeans in the U.S. have been genetically modified. And a lot of times when people think about GMOs, they're like, oh, I'm going to buy my tomatoes that aren't genetically modified, or I don't know, my corn or something. I don't know, my fish or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But because so much of our cash crops are involved, they can be in so many other things. Like genetically modified flours and, you know, crackers and bread,
right,
and things like that.
Right.
So that can make it more difficult to avoid GMOs. Like soybean oil is in so many packaged goods.
Right.
It's probably genetically modified soybean oil.
Glyphosate is an herbicide. So it's been modified to be more tolerant of the herbicide so that, you know, you can apply the herbicide, which then I assume takes care of pests and things.
And weeds and things.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then
herbicide, weeds. Yes.
Yes.
Not pesticide, herbicide. I know that. Yeah. Uh huh.
Words.
Words. Nap time.
Exactly. And because of that, the soybean will, you know, grow better.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we've talked about those types of crops. Yeah. And now you know. Now you're smarter. Moving on to some of the controversy that has really just, I feel like, dogged GMOs since the beginning. I want to say there is no scientific consensus that currently available food derived from genetically modified crops poses like a greater risk to human health than conventional food. But each GMO needs to be tested on a case-by-case basis before introduction. Many people argue that, you know, it should be tested better before you just introduce these things to the market. Members of the public are much less likely than scientists to perceive genetically modified foods as safe. The legal and regulatory status of genetically modified foods varies by country, with some nations banning or restricting them and others permitting them with widely differing degrees of regulation.
So, and that's the other thing, you know? I mean, you travel, you have absolutely no idea. You may be able to figure it out here, but then if you travel, it's going to be a whole different ballgame trying to figure out what's genetically modified, what's not, how it's tested, what might be safe, what might be questionable.
Right, right. And different nations have different views of that. So
exactly.
It just causes, there's not a, I don't know the right, there's not like one law.
There's not a universal way of doing this, and you can apply that to every country that you visit.
Right, right. In relation to that, there are countries like the United States, Canada, Lebanon, and Egypt, and they use a thing called substantial equivalence, which is a method of comparing GMO food to traditional food that has been proven to be safe. So they're really comparing the genetically modified food, if it is, I guess, considered equal of some way, to traditional food that's already thought to be safe, traditional food being non-GMO food. Hmm. And they use this to determine if further testing is required. However, many countries, such as those in the European Union or Brazil and China, only authorize GMO cultivation on a case-by-case basis.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And in the U.S., the FDA determined that GMOs are generally recognized as safe and therefore do not require additional testing if the GMO product is substantially equivalent to the non-genetically modified product. As I mentioned, that's like the substantial equivalence testing.
Equivalence.
Yes, thank you. If new substances are found, further testing may be required to satisfy concerns over potential toxicity, allergens, possible gene transfer to humans, etc., other reasons to potentially test it. In the U.S., three government organizations regulate GMOs. The FDA checks the chemical composition of organisms for potential allergens. The United States Department of Agriculture supervises field testing and monitors the distribution of GM seeds. And then, what is the other one? I believe, genetically recognized as safe. Oh, also, when they determine GMOs as genetically recognized as safe, that is called GRAS, which is a great acronym for this topic.
Right. G-R-A-S.
G-R-A-S. So the U.S. does test, but again, there's controversy over whether it's enough testing. There are ongoing public concerns related to food safety, regulation, labeling, environmental impact, research methods, so many other things. People are also concerned with the fact that genetically modified seeds, along with new plant varieties, are subject to plant breeder rights owned by corporations, hence like Monsanto. They produce so much food and they own so many genetically modified seeds and plants and things like that.
I think it comes down to, if you have questions, you need to do your own research, but know that you're going to have to wade through a lot of conflicting information and conflicting points of view on this to figure out where you might stand.
And I will say, after looking into this topic, most sources have some type of bias. It's really hard to find sources that are not biased.
Unfortunately,
you just have to read a lot of them.
Yep.
Yeah. So again, I would agree with Sarah. I mean, if you want to look into it, you're going to have to wade through a lot. But again, in general, there is no scientific consensus that GMO food is really a greater risk than non-GMO food. So I guess I'll just end it with that. You can disagree with me if you want. But I bid you well in your research to go down that road.
Just do more research than what you see on Facebook in the form of memes.
Oh, please. Yes. Please do. Please. I would suggest that with basically everything.
On that note.
Yes, and on that note, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you can listen to our next GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.